Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Kareem Ali with the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show. And we are airing live. I think last week we were at the Southeastern Council's office, Ms. Christine Hearns, CJ Hearn Construction in Atlanta. And today we are airing live at Upbuild Design at 114 New Street. Nadine Levy's office, one of our youth field coordinators, and our multimedia expert when it comes to our youth field. So we have an extraordinary show today. We have a visitor from Australia. Fiona Schuing is a trade painter and decorator and trade teacher in Australia. She was awarded an international travel to the United States to study and support organization and training pathways for women in the trades in America. NCWCC is partnering with Australia to show our support programs for the trades and assist in the research of the building trades and introduce it to Australia. The award was received on behalf of the National Association of Women of Color, I mean Women in Construction, which is NAWIC, which have absorbed all the cost for her visit. It was from their NSW branch in Australia, and we've been able to visit several people today in the industry. We want to thank the building trades, Jerome Jackson, for his time, and Mrs. Beatrice Andrews, who is a business agent and electrician, has been an electrician for 31 years. And we wanted to thank the organization that kind of structures the DeKalb County Alternative Schools, the meeting with them. We had a chance to talk with the youth today, and the young women, and Ms. Fiona, she actually had a chance to see how some of our DeKalb County youth in that particular setting works. And so we also met with the Brotherhood of Carpenters as well and had a tour of the facility. So it's been a good day in terms of just trying to show some support for what she's doing. And again, today is a very wonderful day for the coalition, being able to provide some support for any of our sisters throughout the globe that is combating some of these, I don't know what you want to call it, but I think it's going to be very interesting to have her on. And as I said before, we've learned to take the show and be a mobile show these days. So we're on the road again, airing live at Upbuild Design at 114 New Street. Nadine Levy, she's a wonderful architect, and we want to thank her for her facility. We're going to try very hard not to disturb too much of her day, but nevertheless, it's good to have networks of people that you can walk with and talk with and utilize their facilities. So at any other part of this, I don't have a lot of news today. I didn't get into a lot of different local stuff. I think it's very interesting that you hear what's taking place in Australia. I'm going to welcome our guest for the day, Ms. Fiona.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, welcome to the call. I appreciate the time that you've given us. It's kind of changing the way that I think. I thought that America was really jacked up, but apparently it's not. I think we might want to stay here for a little bit longer. Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell our listeners, I want to make sure everybody understands, this is a very unique show. It's a wonderful opportunity. We had partnered with TNT, and I guess that's how she found the coalition and on the site. So can you tell our listeners exactly why you're here and kind of give us a big, broad overview of all the things that you are trying to do in Australia?
Okay. I found Karima by accident through looking at a website, and I thought that through some of the research that I'd done, I realized that America was far in advance of what we were doing in Australia. It's very, very difficult for women to go into any of the building and construction trades. It's probably easier to go and bang your head against a brick wall than attempt to go into the trades at the moment. And Karima, the coalition is the very first place that I've come to actually talk to find out about how the coalition has dealt with that kind of thing. And everything I've seen today has exceeded all my expectations. You know, I've been so impressed by everything that goes on here in America. And people, Karima and other people I've met today, have been absolutely shocked that, you know, we don't have a support group for women in trades, and we don't have anything like you have here. It's just completely different. So that's been amazing to sort of just meet people today and find out about what a fantastic support network you have and how important that is to helping women.
Okay, well, let me start by
welcoming you to Georgia and not having to drive on the wrong side of the road today. I had to make sure I tried to do all our Georgia our Georgia people a favor, and I actually picked her up, fellas. So I believe she was going to get on the left side of the road coming down 85. So we believe it alleviated some kind of congestion for at least this today. But in terms, we want to thank you for just talking about some of the things that we've done. But, you know, I thought we were really in trouble in terms of our construction industry. Your industry does not have the type of support due to what in the level of interest of trying to be fair to the folks who why is it that you all are so behind? But there's tradespeople in Australia. You got 20 million people, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you have a small percentage of women who are exposed to the industry. Even with all the new technology that's out there, why do you think that, what if you came up with talking with not just support, but the question on the table is, what do you see some of the barriers are, since you have just a few days, this one particular day to kind of look at what we do outside of what you all do? What have you come up with in terms of determining the difference in between the two of us?
The biggest difference is your support networks. That is enormous. And also, the other big difference is that your government intervened and said, this is not okay to do this. We want women to come into trade, and they supported women coming into trade. So, and we haven't had either of those things. We still don't have either of those things.
But you have policy in place for, you have a union, right?
We do, but we don't have unions the way that you have unions. Here, from what I believe, your unions actually, you know, to go into trade, you actually go to the union, you actually get your training from the union, and you go out and you work as a union trade. We call them tradies, but journeyperson. We don't have that. So we don't have unions, not in any position like that at all for the trade in Australia.
But I guess we discovered today that we have a political arm with our unions as well. I think if the unions there would try to mirror some of the things, you don't think that could be a way that we could help with having the unions there mirror somewhat what the unions do on a political level?
Maybe, yeah. I'm going to go back and I'm going to talk to the unions that we do have and see if I can get them involved, because up till now I haven't really thought about getting them involved. Normally what they do in Australia is if you get dismissed unfairly, then they'll fight for you or they'll try and barter for better conditions or pay, but they don't have the influence that your unions have on the trade at all. But, you know, maybe they are... That they can start to play a part in that, you know. So I'm certainly going to go back and talk to them.
Your institute, what is the name of the institute that you are an instructor at?
I'm an instructor at the Illawarra Institute, which is in Wollongong. Wollongong is about 50 minutes from Sydney. Sydney is in New South Wales, which is a state like Georgia in Australia. And Wollongong is an industrial city. So we did have a time in the 80s when women, mostly in Wollongong, were a steel city. We have a big steel company there. And so most of our industry is, or a lot of our industry is around that, but very industrial. And in the 80s, women did fight to go into the steelworks at Port Kembla. But they actually they got in. They actually won. They took the company to the courts and they won. But then the women, being the last ones hired, Australia went into a recession. So they were the first ones thrown out. So, and the momentum sort of died at that point. So we have very, very few women in trades at all. You know, you could almost. You know, they're numbered in either 20s or 100s throughout
okay,
the whole of Australia.
Then why not use that same court findings and leverage the exposure to tradeswomen? Why not? I'm sure that had to have some policy that allowed them to overturn their practices. Why not use that as a leveraging term? Why not go back to?
Yeah, it did with that company. That company has become a benchmark company, and it does employ women. So it did have a really major effect with that one company, but it hasn't sort of spread from that point. And the problem with any kind of discrimination is normally, you know, you can bring in legislation and say you're not allowed to discriminate against people, but when you and you can state that and everybody says, okay, I'll do that. But what tends to happen then is the discrimination goes under the counter and people still discriminate. They just don't do it noisily, so they don't do it loudly, and it's still there. And so women can't get an apprenticeship in Australia. Very few women get apprenticeships, normally less than 1%, between 0 and 1%, and sometimes a little bit over 1%, but that's it. So it's really, really difficult for an apprenticeship.
Well, let's just talk back about one other thing that's very interesting about the research that the book that you produced, Supporting Women in Non-Traditional Trades. How long did that take you to put the survey, this together? You could look at this online. How do you go online and look at the Supporting Women in Non-Traditional Trades? Is there a website for that?
Yeah, there is. The one good thing, that the government did do is it provided some funding for independent body called the Institute of Trade Skills Excellence, and they have an internet platform called Skills One. So if you just put Skills One Australia into an internet search, it'll come up. And if you in the search category, if you just look for, if you just put my surname in, Shuring, a number of things will come up, including the booklet. And at the end of the booklet, there's also links to videos that Skills One have done of the young women that we've got in trade, which are great, great videos. But there's, so it makes us look better than we are because they've done such a great job. But there's so few women that it's really hard to find, you know. That, so there's a couple. There's these videos at the end of the booklet and the link to them.
Well, I think what I was looking at was the book has pictures of tradeswomen in it working.
Yeah.
And those women seem to be very good at what they do. I think you had one carpenter that's in there that out of 900 carpenters, she was number one in her field.
So the women in the booklet because I now train apprentices. I was, you know, working as a tradie, as we call it, but now I train apprentices. That's my main job, and my passion is helping women to go into the trades. I went through my institute trying to find women in the trade. So in the carpenters, we had 900 apprentices, and two of those 900 were women. One was actually in work, and the other one was not in work. And one of the women, she was the best carpenter out of all 900 students.
Okay,
she was pretty amazing.
She looks very skilled just based on I've had a chance to take a look at a lot of the things that you're doing. When you talked about the you said now there's a difference in the apprenticeship when it comes to our way, you said there's an organization that chooses the apprentices for the contractors.
Yeah.
How does that work again?
They're called group trainers. So they're not in building and construction as such. What they do is they interview and employ apprentices, but they don't actually do the training. And what they do is they farm the apprentices out. So they'll actually phone up employers and say, "Do you need an apprentice? And do you want an apprentice for a year, or 2 years, or 3 months?" And they'll send the apprentice out to that host employer who'll do the training. They also come to school, so they come to college and they also do training at college. And then if the contractor decides no, he hasn't enough work, he's got to let the apprentice go. The apprentice then goes back to the group trainer. So the group trainer is actually the employer. They're the ones that are responsible for the apprentice in the final picture. But at the end of his or her training, they don't actually have a job for the apprentice, but they've got the apprentice through the training. So then the apprentice can go and get a job.
But they're not responsible for them throughout the entire apprenticeship. There's no sustainability from what I kind of gathered my mind around, was that there's no sustainability. One thing that differs is that now, not in the South, but in up north, if you take on an apprentice, you sign a contract at least for a year to keep that apprentice busy. And so what happens is the union itself then decides that I'm going to keep this contractor busy. So therefore, a lot of work that comes toward the union, it comes to them because the union went to work for the contractors to identify owners, municipalities that have work for them. And so, therefore, it becomes a win-win. What does the union offer me as a contractor? Well, the union helps me find work for me as a contractor, and the union helps me find work for my apprentices so that me as a contractor can keep my apprentices working. That's a key point, and I think the reason why. And then if you move a little bit further, when I was in the apprenticeship in Chicago, there was a support base. I think I told people today that I cried through my first year of my apprenticeship. If you looked at me a certain way, so we had a support base for the women, myself at that age, that would come to my defense and represent me even outside of the union to represent the issues, the social issues that I had, and working on the site. And that's one of the answers to trying to help you all develop a sustainable system, because it's one thing just to have the union become involved, but then there has to be another arm that only supports and only sees the interest of that woman, if that makes any sense, right?
We don't have anything at the moment. The women that are in trade, with the research that I've done, the women that are in trade at the moment are normally coming from trade families, so the whole family's in trade in some form or other. Interestingly enough, not normally in the trade that they go into. So they obviously want a bit of independence from the rest of their family. But sometimes their fathers or their uncles run a construction company, and they come in that way. But normally what I found was that the women were their father was a welder, their brothers were electricians, their uncle was a carpenter, their mother was a nurse. And, nurses do heavy work, shift work. In a way it's very similar to a trade, they sort of understand what the trades are about. So they came from a trade background, most of the women in Australia at the moment, because they're the only ones that would even think about going into a trade. just before I left Australia, I was talking to a bricklayer, a female bricklayer, and her family is, you know, they're a family of bricklayers. Her dad, her brothers, her uncles. She has a twin sister. Her sister's a bricklayer as well, although at the moment she's stopped to have children. But
God forbid.
Yeah, oh my goodness, oh no. She'll go back. Like, they are committed. You know, they are so committed. And, you know, women do have babies, but so do men, you know. And
wow.
Women work. You know, like, and manage looking after dependents. And it may not just be children that are dependents. Some women, you know, have elderly dependents and or sibling dependents and things. So, you know, it's not really fair, but it seems to be the way it goes that women are the ones that have to manage that a lot. But I think today men are taking that role more. You know, they are helping. They are doing their bit, which I think, you know, is a good thing.
I just kind of joked around you guys about that because I think you have that in your book here, that was one of the opinions of somebody that you interviewed, that you're gonna invest money into them, then they're gonna stop and have a baby. I'm like,
yeah,
okay, how did you get here then? The excuses are so absurd that it seems like they just forgot to come out of the dark ages. I have never heard the type of excuses that you shared in this book, in terms of what their barriers were in their minds that stated that myth. You know, I like the fact that you came up with a couple of things. I think Nadine and when you interviewed her, you guys were talking about some of that, and I heard her say something. I'm not sure exactly what it says, but it says if the myth says if women are trained, they won't cope in their trades and they leave quickly, so it's a waste.
Yeah,
I've never heard anything in my whole life that we can't cope, but we cope with being the mothers, the financial person of the household, the whole thing, and it's almost absurd. I heard this language before, but that was 24 years ago.
Yeah, well,
that was 24 years ago. So you're saying to me that there's people walking around, Neanderthals, I call them, that have not even came to the 21st century yet. They're still hovering around the 19th century.
This is the
part that I like. In this, you support every their myth by showing a trade plumber that's in here. You got a trade painting and decorator, and you yourself are a trade painter too, right?
Yeah. In Australia, painting and decorating is a licensed standalone trade, as it is in Great Britain, I think, as well. And we're one of the building and construction trades, as is a carpenter or an electrician or a plumber. I mean, my own story of how I got into trade was, you know, I didn't actually intend to sort of become a painter and decorator. I just happened to fall into it. But then I discovered something that I really loved. And, I thought, well, why aren't other women here, you know? And it was only then that I discovered that the building construction trades in Australia were so gender diverse, you know, like so gender dominated, and that was a surprise. That was a real surprise.
It's past a surprise to me. I feel like we shouldn't even give you back. If it wasn't for your five kids and your husband, we wouldn't let you go back. My God. Well, thank God yours are older now. They can make it. But I am just absolutely blown away. I knew that there was a situation that was going on with all sorts of different things, but it never dawned on me that the backwards level. And I think this is just the old leadership changing hands. To me, I just think everything else passes.
We have got a new prime minister, and he certainly is quite progressive in that area. So, you know, I wouldn't be, you know, I'm hoping we've got also got a lot of stimulus packages coming out, as you have here too, and I really see a way forward with that of actually using that to make a difference. And, you know, I really see that we can, you know, that the part of the stimulus package is to actually to help communities by refurbishing their buildings and by building new low-cost buildings. And I really, my idea is to get women together and actually train them on site, on the job, actually building houses and refuges or whatever for women.
Okay. I want to welcome our callers. I want to call our executive director, Destiny Muhammad. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. Okay, and we got a caller from 310. Welcome to the call, and caller 678-471. Welcome to the call, and caller 404-660. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Okay. Destiny, I'm not sure how long you've been on, but we've had a couple of technical difficulties. Hello?
Hello. I'm here. But I got to sign off in about 4 minutes, so.
Okay. I'm not sure what that's all about, but okay. I don't know how long you were on because I just got back on the switchboard, but I think, did you hear how I won't say the backwards, but I guess the experience that they are experiencing over here in Australia and the women, do they allow them to pick up instruments and play instruments? That's a question. Is that too big? I don't get it. It was just kind of a weird situation, I think. I think we're in a good position to try to...
I own a barbershop in Southern California next door to an Australian restaurant. And the man that owned the restaurant, he was very nice, but he was very... What she said about the very gender-based, is he was very comfortable being very sexist and very racist, and letting me know that I really needed to be married and have a husband to take care of me, that my place was really not in the barbershop.
Yeah, I can believe that.
I mean, and what I really recognize is, because as quiet as it's kept, we still have portions of that here in the United States. Folks are a little bit more selective of how they do it because nobody wants to get sued. You can lose a lot of money behind it, but in parts of the country and in parts of our infrastructure, that's still very prevalent there. Women don't reach certain levels in certain companies and certain corporations based on gender. And don't let the woman be a woman who is in a same-gender relationship and public about it, then it's really all bad.
I think one of the things that we have been talking about, and we had met with several organizations and structures, and one of the things that I thought would be good, and I'm hoping some of the other callers can jump in on this, is that and not only can we partner with the tradeswomen, but one thing that we want to try to implement is a tradeswomen association for the organization, so that we could support the whole movement by flying over to Australia and helping show that the support that she has, that the tradeswomen have, and really support her that kind of way. Maybe do a concert, Destiny, to raise awareness for women involved in the trades. I mean, the sky's the limit on this type of stuff. Destiny is, for some of the callers, is our executive director for our youth build program, and also she is a recording concert harpist, and she's located out in California and has been working with us for some months now, and certainly appreciate all the the information that we have been given to position the coalition. We're also members of IATSE as a result, and I am an executive producer with the Grammys now.
No, you're not an executive. You're not executive producers with the Grammys. You're a Grammy member. You're executive producer with Harper's from the Hood and the Next Level.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. But anyway, but I just wanted to give you that that breakdown for callers and folks that are listening that have elected not to chime in at this time. But if there's any questions, call us at 404-660. All right, caller from 404-310. All right, good. So let's move a little bit further about some of the things that that we were talking about building, as well as just going over there. But building a social network is one of the things that I think Fiona has been talking about, that there is a social network that's there that I think that, you know, we've been able to utilize and compromise on. I think yours is there through NAWIC. I think NAWIC's been doing a wonderful job. That's why you're here, Fiona. Can you tell everybody how and what you've done to be awarded the Crystal Award?
I sort of put in an application to the New South Wales chapter of NAWIC based on the work that I've been doing to support women to go into the building and construction trades. And I won the Crystal Vision Award for 2009 for New South Wales, and then I was at an event, and I was sort of kind of like feeling, you know, a little bit out of it because everybody knew each other, and I was one of the only tradies there, and things. And then the president announced that they were going to do an International Women's Day scholarship that would provide money to go overseas to find information that would change the building and construction trade in Australia. And I just thought, that's got my name on it. So I put in an application, and in fact they had enough money for two of us to go. So I came to America, and the other person went to Brazil to look at sustainable building. And so they funded me to come to America, because I felt that America was the most advanced in terms of supporting women in the building and construction trade. You know, you've been doing this for much longer than we ever have, and you've got the support networks, and you've been through the loops. You know, you've really done all the breaking groundwork, and I hope that I could come over and learn from you and work out the best approach to try and help women in Australia.
Well, what's your itinerary for the remainder of the next 3 weeks? You're going to be going a few places, meeting with a few other some of our other partners around the country. What's your next stop?
After Georgia, I go to LA, and I'm going to the Build California conference in LA. And then I'm meeting with women in LA, Winter Women, and some others. And then I'm going to Portland in Oregon, and I'm going to a trade fair where they are showing, you know, women and girls, from middle school through high school, and bringing them in and showing them, giving them a taster of what the trades do and encouraging them to join, because we don't even have anything like that. So I'm looking, you know, and I want to actually go back to Australia and start to actually get some of these things happening in Australia.
Okay. And, you know, I think, as I was telling you before, one of our partners is Oregon Tradeswomen. They have done a tremendous job in policy changes for the Department of Transportation, and have written a policy for a complete inclusion on the DOT part of the work, and they have a very good model. They have dealt with legislation, as the rest of our national partners have, and in changing the way that they've been doing, changing the face, I call it changing the face of contracting, the way things are done, it's only instrumented through the policy changes at the very top. I think with the new prime minister that you have coming in, if he's as progressive as I think he is, with everybody wants to look like Barack Obama, so I'm sure you can probably get him to to conform a little bit. So, and as I said, I think with the more partners that you have globally, the easier it will be for you to transcend into international trades women's organization or association that could globalize a lot of things. And let me just tell you why I said that. That would allow tradeswomen to now travel from one part of the country to the next. And I think one of the young ladies that we met with, Mrs. Andrews, said that she had an opportunity by way of a pipe fitter that she knew when work slowed down, I think, and she said that she was on her way to Australia herself, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she did say that. Yeah.
And see, that's what opens up the lines for women. And when you have that kind of network, I just want to continue to thank NAWIC for their support and how they've been instrumental for the past 50 years inside the construction industry. And we wouldn't be here as an association ourselves if it wasn't for NAWIC's diligence and how they've been able to support the industry. And, you know, everybody, it's not perfect, but they have done a wonderful job. I was so surprised to know that there was a NAWIC chapter in Australia. So I brag about being global, but good God Almighty, I'm like, where are we at? So it's a very refreshing situation for us to just be able to support somebody that won the Crystal Award and just out of just building social networks between other groups that we got to meet you and possibly maybe be able to assist you in beating the hell out of those people over there. I don't understand at all. They don't have any. They need to send a few sisters from Georgia there. They'll get correct. That's all I can tell. All of that backwardness would stop immediately. But I just, as I was talking about earlier, is that, you know, that will allow us to be an international organization for women to travel throughout the globe from project to project, from country to country, from state to state. And that's how you build sustainability, especially for our young people. You know, we have this NCWCC Youth Build Foundation. And with that foundation, that's going to allow us to be able to transcend to our young people a way for them to see life a little bit bigger and broader. And I think you have two young girls. One of them, you have one daughter that's in the trades, no?
Yeah. There's a couple of young girls there in there. Like one of the girls in the booklet that I wrote as well, she's actually she was, what would I call her? She was a difficult child. She was what we call in Australia youth at risk, and she's now, you know, she was one of those kids that you really think you might as well throw them away, but we didn't. We got her in, and we sort of got her back into education, and she's now, you know, sort of married. She's had a baby. She's running a business with her partner and doing really, really well. So I think, you know, what we've been doing today, when we've been seeing youth as well, they are the key, you know, that they've got the, as you said to me, Karima, they've got the technical know-how with, you know, the technology that's out there today. It doesn't frighten them. They are the future, and we've definitely got to go that way, you know. I should say as well that, you know, my institute has been really supportive of what I'm doing, and I think there is now a sort of recognition in Australia that things have to change. And, you know, so my institute, the Illawarra Institute, sort of have been very supportive of everything I've done, which has been, you know, I couldn't have done it without that either.
voice of ancient calling, and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. I am the blessing you seek. Seek my face. I'm all you will ever need. All you'll ever
Okay, welcome back to the call. I just wanted to welcome all the callers on, caller from 468. Welcome to the call, and the rest of the callers. I think the show has been pretty phenomenal about getting and obtaining information regarding the industry itself. So, one of the things I want to share with everybody is that this book that she's written in supporting women in non-traditional trades, you really can't take it any lightly anymore. We have been very blessed, I guess, as a country and as women of color. That's, you know, we've been complaining about not getting this type of job or this kind of exposure. These women are pretty much in a situation that it's almost like they forgot to jump into the 21st century, and that's not their fault. It's the fault of the fact that our networks are not stronger as they have been, that as they should be. I mean, we should have had stronger networks with women organizations, even internationally, and I know that we're proud of the fact that we are, net with the Chicago Women in the Trades and Oregon Tradeswomen and Tradeswomen Now and Tomorrow and coalitions of women in D.C. and professional women in construction. I mean, I'm proud of all of that, but we really have, you know, not done our job in terms of the outcome of what as a coalition and what we've not, you know, done. I mean, it's pretty much real easy. I mean, for those who are been blessed like we have been, and if you hear the stories that that Fiona's been talking to us about not having support, about not even having an existence. I mean, they don't even have a network for even the young people to be inspired to go forward and get into the trades itself. It's a very, very difficult situation. One thing that I relate this situation to is something that Nadine Livy told me from Upbuild Design, and she is an architect, AIA registered architect, that there's only 180 black female architects, registered architects in the whole United States and Canada and the island. So, and I'm laughing, but it's a travesty, I think, when you look at the type of exposure that we have to bring our young people into the 21st century. And we went to meet with the CAB Alternative Schools with a group of young women that just like a career day that we had about a few minutes to speak and talk to them about the other opportunities in construction. One thing I asked the young ladies, I said, who would like to make $15,000 by September? And they all raised their hands. They said, me, I'd love to make $15,000 by September. And I said, that's easy to do. And they said, how? You know, and these are the age groups were 15 years old to 17-year-olds. And this DeKalb Alternative School is a school that we're going to partner with. And it is my goal to make sure that they have the information about applied arts and science, about painting and decorating, about being a part of the carpenters, being a boiler maker, being HVAC person, a fitter, a machinist, a fine writer. There are so many trades that are out there that our young girls could do without having to be vigilant and compete with the male counterparts. The electricians, we were very excited about meeting with them by IBEW, and some of the programs that they do are just wonderful in their outreach. The lady that I met, I just was in awe about some of the things that she's done on her own, based on her own recognizance and recruiting women. And she would tell, she said that she told several women all the time at our church, she's telling people, look, you could be an electrician. You can do this. This is not nothing. I can help you with your math. Math is not hard. And she is one of these type of women that I definitely want to make sure that I give a very good shout-out to, I guess you want to say, which is Beatrice Andrews, which is a business agent that's been with the IBEW for 31 years. And this is the type of woman that mirrors what I want to be when I put 31 years into. And she has been holding, she's been taking on hits for people like myself and younger people for years, and has worked her way into respectability with the building trades, with the IBEW. I mean, this woman talked about her children are went through school, one of them about to get their PhD. She did that. She did that with her working, supporting her family. It didn't make her no less than a lady. It didn't make her any mass. Didn't increase her mass. Make her look like she was a masculine person. She was able to do something for her family without her male counterpart being a significant other. And the other thing she also mentioned today, guys, was that she goes down to the battered women's shelter, and she talks with those battered women about being able to be independent. Outside of the male figure being in the household, you have to have your own income, your own way, you know. And so it was just listening to her just gave me an understanding that there have been women out here past the coalition that have been taking on and the torch and has, you know, just, you know, once this sister retires, people will respect another black female electrician that wants to be a business rep. Maybe the next person might be the president of IBEW, based on the respectability that this woman has showed for her trade. I think she's also the one that told me that she had been traveling. She has worked in New York, said that there was over 500 black female electricians inside of the city of New York or the state of New York, giving us great statistics about some of the programs that she holds with NAWIC and working with the young girls and doing a program called Magic, I believe. And they have, you know, NAWIC has been doing a tremendous amount of work, a wonderful job in doing the work, you know. But, again, there is the changing of the guard. And as a coalition, we're hoping to embrace everything that they've done and mirror what they've done and then take it to the next level with our youth program. And we are very excited about being able to just move accordingly because we have a footprint. We have a systematic footprint with this show. We have a footprint with this with our industry. We are very blessed. For the callers that are still on, we are very, very blessed. This is not a religious situation, but we are more blessed than anybody can even imagine. I mean, just looking at some of the things that's been shared with me, we're going to have enough to support the efforts of what Fiona is trying to do, and I'm hoping that we can get her back on the call here shortly. So other thing I want to do is talk about some of the things that the IBEW Jerome Jackson is doing with his Georgia stand-up. I guess we can get Fiona back to the call. So, but I wanted to just share with you about this brother who has been in the electrical union for 31 years. He made a comment today. He said that when he was a young boy, he said they came out of his family was in the masonry business, and he was able to share with us that he saw the masons walk around with the block and do the mortar and stuff, and then he saw the electrician get up, take a rod, and then put the rod in and sat back down. He says, hey, what you doing? He says, I'm finished right now. And he put the rod in the block and then sat back down. He said, well, I just got to tell you. He said, that's what I want to do. So as a young man, he was able to identify, I don't want to work hard. I just want to work. But, you know, and that's something to be said about how easy that a young mind could be turned. And then now this man is the executive director of Georgia Stand Georgia Trade Up, and a pre apprenticeship program. So I wanted to just kind of share with you all my experience in talking with the people that I want to just tell them thank you for at a short notice and letting me bring in Fiona and share with everybody what's going on and how we could actually help it. Fiona, welcome back to the call. I saw that you were coming back here, and I wanted to just talk to you about some of the other things that we had discussed earlier, which was the implementation of a program. Implementation of a program for the tradeswomen and how to identify those tradeswomen. And, you know, with 20 million people, how do you identify in rural areas and different places? How would you try to identify those women and make sure that, that these people have some contact? And then the other thing was talking about the aboriginals and how we could help in helping them rebuild what they've been going through in terms of the housing situation. So I'm going to let you have that. Go ahead, please.
Hi, sorry, slight technical difficulty there that Karima got me out of. What we're going to do is I'm going up to Portland to go and see a trade sort of, you know, careers tryout for girls and women, and that's one of the things that I'm going to do when I get back is actually try and set that up in Australia and actually have a real hands-on thing that we go into the schools and start opening up the possibility for girls to think, well, I can go and do that. I can go and get in a trade. I can do that. I wouldn't mind doing that because that's not really something that's happening at the moment. There is, you know, a couple of companies that are really good, but on the whole, there isn't much opportunity at the moment. And the girls and their parents don't even think that that's somewhere where they can go at all. So that definitely needs to be something that I do. You know, when you were saying about the guy Jerome that we met today, that you know was he was doing the heavy stonework, and then he watched an electrician and he thought that's the job for me. I talked to a young female welder in Australia, and she adores welding. Like, she loves welding. She welds in her spare time as well as at work. And I looked at her, I couldn't believe it, because I've done welding and it ain't got it for me. So, you know, it's different courses for different people. There's trades, you know, that call different people, and it may be that I need to work out different things for different trades. I don't know yet. You know, this is all so new to me, and I really do appreciate everything that everyone has done for me today. It's just been amazing what the coalition has done in helping me. This is my first contact in America, and today I've been completely blown away by what I've seen that you have and what you've done. It's just incredible.
And it's talking with a little bit further about being able to go and work with the revitalization of the communities.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on for a second.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Ray Cooper.
Okay, how you doing, Mr. Cooper?
I'm doing good. You're doing good.
Well, welcome to the call.
Yes, I would like to say I'm a mason contractor, and I like to be able to do business with the black females, more business, and how I could be a help to them in assisting them in doing other structural work in the city. I've been in this business for about 30 years.
Okay. What's the name of your business, sir?
Cooper & Associates.
Cooper & Associates. Okay. Okay. And you wouldn't mind helping mentoring some of the women, maybe some of the younger women that might want to get into the masonry?
That's correct.
Okay. All right.
Years, I only seen one female mason just actually doing the structural work, but, you know, laying brick. I like to see
okay.
more of that.
Okay. And Mr. Cooper, are you available to maybe talk with some of our young people coming up on the 1st of May?
Of course. Of course.
Okay. All right. And then we got so you're located here in Atlanta. So it's
correct,
Cooper and Associates.
Right.
And we want to thank you for your pledge to mentoring the young women. We really appreciate that. Glad some of our brothers are starting to call in, and thank you for just you know, maybe just being that voice, because I'm sure you've probably been trying to work with some. You said you had only one woman that you had worked with in the past 30 years that was able to do the structural work.
Yes, she could actually lay bricks. She was left-handed. She was amazing.
That's
good. I was very impressed.
That's so good to hear. That is so good to hear.
Pardon?
Right.
This is Fiona. That it's so good to hear you saying that. You know, like, I've been just so impressed by the American attitude to women in the trades. It's
right.
It's really, really a pleasure to be here.
Right. Okay, then, my pleasure. If you need to get in contact with me, do you need a number?
Yes, please.
Contact me at 678
933
Okay. 9025.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Great.
All right. How to volunteer. That's a good one. we know to flood his phone. For real. Okay. That was good. I'm glad I was able to see that on there. I think I recognize this caller from 468. Welcome, caller from 468.
Hello,
Adana. How are you doing, ma'am?
Wonderful, dear. Wonderful. Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
A little late coming on, but I just wanted to see what was going on. You always have such exciting things.
Oh, well, we try. It's just by the grace of God that we remain convinced that this is the right thing to do, the right exposure.
I'm glad to hear your involvement with the DeKalb Alternative School. I used to be Business Education Partnership Coordinator through the Chamber, and that role required me to match businesses and organizations with schools. And they mostly worked with elementary and middle schools, but the high school students that were not going off to college were not aware of a lot of opportunities that were still available or open to them. And so with you taking your organization into the schools, it's just a ready market to move into the construction industry. So I applaud you for that.
Well, thank you. I was able to, I'm not sure if you know that we have a visitor here from Australia on the call with us. Fiona is here, will be here for the next 10 days or seven to 10 days. I didn't realize it'd take 22 hours to fly. I'll be going over there no time soon. But we have her on, and she's been with us, and she had an opportunity, Fiona, to go to the school and take a look at the students, right?
Yeah, it was a really good visit. I was really impressed at, you know, the people that we met were so enthusiastic, and also the young women that we talked to, you know, they just stopped and they listened and they really took in what Karima said, and I was very, very impressed. And I had, Karima's kept saying to me, the youth is the answer, you know, go to the youth. And she's certainly, you know, in one day, she certainly influenced me on that respect. I think I was probably thinking more towards older women, and I'm not going to, you know, not go there as well, but, you know, I'm definitely going to do more towards the youth the way that she's suggesting.
Well, they were pretty much blown away, Fiona, when you told them that you had five kids and that basically that you made very good money and drove a very nice car.
Yeah.
So they were a little bit rowdy for just a moment, but when you started talking about money, they said,
yeah.
What did she say?
Yeah.
So I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to get their attention and have women who look like women. I don't have anything against people who might be masculine looking, but who look like women, act like women, and tell these girls, look, I got five kids. I've been painting and decorating for the past 20 plus years, and I'm all right.
Yeah.
So it was, I think that school is a diamond in the rough for what we saw and for what they've been accomplishing through the years. I did not know that whole, I drive by it every day and never paid attention to it. So
right. Because needless to say, not everyone is going to college. Not everyone is interested in that. And not to say that women that are in the construction industry are not college graduates, but when you have high school students that are not interested in going to college, it's great to be able to have some place that you can direct them to, something constructive, and they just might find that this is their calling, their place that they need to be.
Yeah. I think the thing of my experience in Australia of trade and women in trade, or anybody in trade actually, is that you're a hands-on person. You know, you like seeing the things that you've made with your hand at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You like looking at what you've achieved during that day. And all the tradies that I know, we all take our families around and go, that's the house I painted, that's the house I wired, that's the house I built, you know. We have this, you know, we're good with our hands. It doesn't mean that we're not intelligent. You need a lot of intelligence to be in the trade. You need a lot of common sense. You've got to be able to transfer skills. The girls that I saw today, they were smart, you know. But they didn't fit in to where, you know, the rest of society wanted them to go. So this is a different way that they can go, and they can earn a lot of money, and they can get respect.
Exactly. And I don't know about your educational system there. However, my experience, which I'm a bit older, but my experience was that I was 48 when I learned that I am an artist, a creative person, whereas the years prior to then, I was more directed towards being, you know, more conceptual thinking and doing those types of things. And whereas the point I want to make is that many of these students are very creative, and that's part of the reason that they are in the alternative programs, which means that they're not in the traditional classrooms because they are viewed as somewhat different. And that difference is that they're probably more creative, and that's why they are sometimes looked up on as problems and labeled with different terminology because they see the world differently. You know, they think differently. And so the creativity certainly helps to build their self-esteem and to put them on the path for some career success and financial success.
Yeah. I didn't do well at school when I was younger. I sort of, you know, I found it hard to do exams. I failed a lot of things. I had to resit them. And, you know, it was a real uphill struggle for me at school. But since then, and I think I was one of those people that just takes time to find her niche. You know, it took time for me to find, you know, where I could fit in and what I could do and what I could excel at. And I'm an artist as well. And initially I was following along that pathway. And I went into trade purely because I was a single mother with five small children. And when I met my second husband, he was a painter and decorator, and it was very hard for him to support us all. So I started working. You know, you do what you have to do. When you've got kids, mm-hmm. you do what you have to do. And I sort of discovered that I loved my trade. I loved being a painter and decorator, and I'd found a real vocation in life. And even more so when I started teaching. When I was younger, I hated teachers. I thought that I can't even say what I thought because it's not polite. You know, I just thought, you know, they were the worst people, and they couldn't tell me anything, and I wasn't going there. And the thought of me being a teacher, there's just no way, because, you know, that they were just rip-off merchants. They were, you know, they weren't going to help me. They were just there to make me feel stupid. And but now I love teaching. I adore teaching. You know, and I love my trade, and I'm proud of being a tradesperson, you know, and I want to pass that on. That's now important to me, but that's not where I started. And I think most of us kind of follow these sort of pathways that are not straightforward. You know, that we start at one point, but you've just got to keep your mind open to opportunities, and an opportunity doesn't necessarily look like it doesn't look like a nice, pretty rose-bowered door that you're going to walk through easily. It looks like hard work, but be open to opportunities and walk through and do things that you know, you're interested in, and follow paths that aren't the straight path that's running straight in front of you. And I think that is how you discover who you are and where you're at and what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Welcome Nadine to the call. Nadine Levy with Upbuild Design. We, as always, we're a little bit different today. We're airing live from her establishment. It's located at 114 New Street. in Decatur, Georgia. Want to welcome you to the call and on your own phone in your office.
So I want to thank you for allowing us to take this and be able to do this out of your office as well. And I think you and Fiona have had some very interesting conversations back and forth about the interview that you guys had been, and just in talking forward about some of the things that you all have been talking about. Can you kind of enlighten us about maybe some of your conversations? I know y'all was back there just talking, so I just figured I'd just tell you, just let everybody know what y'all were talking about, pretty much.
Well,
that's what I was saying.
Well, I think it's good to be back on. One of the things, like I said before, I'm an architect, so I come in on the front end of the trade cycle. We're the designers, et cetera, and early visionaries. But one of the things we were talking about was how, with the speed of technology, how it's beginning to impact the trades, and what used to be real heavy, hands-on, dirty work, kind of perceived dirty work, there's becoming more and more opportunities for those who may shy away from that but still want to be around it. For example, using computers and virtual environments. If you like computers, graphic design, that sort of thing, there's so many new opportunities now for people in the construction industry to become involved in that. For example, I was talking about something called building information modeling, which is, in essence, takes a three-dimensional model and which designers may use to design a building. They take that model, they transfer that model to the builder, to the contractor. The contractor takes that model and has his major subs like mechanical, electrical, and plumbing develop models of their duct work, steel work, etc., from instead of the old-fashioned two-dimensional shop drawings. They can build and manufacture directly to the big industrial cutting machines, etc. They need to cut out their materials, to estimate quantities. There's so many different avenues now that you can still be in the trade, you can still be in construction, and never once break a nail, get dirty, et cetera. And there's still so many opportunities for women in these alternative fields to be involved with that.
But you know, Nadine, I actually taught a woman in painting and decorating that had the most beautiful nails. And when she came in, I said to her, "You are going to lose your nails. That's one thing I'm sorry to tell you, you're going to lose your nails." And she just looked at me and she said, "No, I'm not." And she was determined. She was determined. She did damage them, but every night she went home and she got them right again. You know,
okay.
So you can do that. I really advocate for women to be women. You're a person first and foremost.
That's right.
Gender shouldn't come into it, really. You know, like, I don't have a choice at the moment because I'm fighting for women to go in. But really, you know, you can be a woman and you can wear high heels when you go out, the same as the trade guys. You know, they don't wear their work clothes when they go out. They'll take their boots off and their hard hat off and their fluoro vest off and whatever. They wouldn't even dream of, you know, sort of going out to dinner or the theatre or the cinema dress like that. In Australia, in fact, we have Return Soldiers clubs, and they're a big part of our social culture. And a lot of the tradies go there after working. But they're only allowed to be in their trade clothes for a short amount of time, and then they just say, "No, okay, this is the end of the drinking hour for wearing those kind of clothes. You actually have to go home and get changed." So they do, you know. No man would sort of dream of going sort of to church or something dressed in his construction, you know, gear. It's we call it PPE. Which, you know, it's personal protective equipment. It's designed to protect you in the environment that you're working in. And so, you know, I'm more than happy to wear my PPE when it's appropriate, you know. And when I'm at home or when I'm going out, I strut my stuff. You know, I'll put on the high heels, I'll put on my makeup, I'll put on the nail varnish, I'll do whatever I feel like. And if I've got a day where I feel like wearing, we call them tracky decks, I don't know what you call them here, but they're tracksuit trousers. If I want to wear my tracky decks and my Ugg boots, I'll wear my tracky decks and my Ugg boots, you know. I bought my Ugg boots in case I'd had an Ugg boot day. So I really advocate for women being women.
And I'm glad you said that, because I think that's sometimes a stereotype that is perpetrated out there, that you cannot be a woman, full feminine, nails, hair, whatever, heels, and do this. And I think it's time for us to get away from those stereotypes. It's like any other job. There, you wear the uniform. That just happens to be the uniform. You go home, you change uniform, you change gear, and you're who you are.
Yeah, I agree. I agree totally.
Well, ladies, I love this type of dialogue. I certainly hope that when we start our youth build segment, the young folks will understand that there is opportunity to just do your job, just like playing basketball. You know, wanted to mention also that we've partnered with the WNBA, the Atlanta Dream, to sponsor 200 youth over the summer to go to their games and participate in a couple of things that they're doing camp-wise. So that's one of the things that we will be instrumental in doing as far as reaching out to our young folks and sharing the fact that this is just a job. The job is what you do. You don't take it any further than where you go. And, you know, and so that's just with the basketball. You know, I played basketball in high school, in college, and that was something I liked doing. That was it. That's, you know, now that I'm older, I'm not walking around with a basketball any longer. I walk around with a black book. So I don't know. But I want to certainly tell everybody that this has been a very extraordinary time for me to open up a little bit more of the dialogue to the other folks that are listening. We have a couple people online. I realize what that 111 stands for on the switchboard now. So I'm getting it after what, almost a year doing this. But I certainly want to tell everybody that the coalition – again, really wants to thank the National Association of Women of Women in Construction, NAWIC, for doing so much, and they do a lot, and I guess they don't get as much recognition in the mainstream as they should. It's a very wonderful organization that's about 50 years old, and they've laid down the path for us and a lot of other young people. A lot of young women have experienced a lot of things with NAWIC, and I was a member of NAWIC back years ago, and they have always been instrumental in showing other organizations how to poise themselves. And so again, I mean, I think this would not be possible without them having. I can't say the. How do you say bursary?
Bursary.
Okay, okay. That's why I keep ignoring that word when I read it. So that.
That's how we say it in Australia. I don't know whether it's the same here. You speak a whole different language.
but I've at least acclimated you to a couple of good cuss words since you've been here. So Nadine said, "Oh boy, we had the wrong one. Take her around." So yeah, she'll have a few choice words when she gets back home. I'm sorry, Nadine. But we just had to make things possible for her. And you got your younger brother just walked in. but we wanted to also, there's a website. Is there a website to contact you and an email address, Fiona?
Yeah, you can email me. Would we be able to put it up on the website, your website? Would that be the easiest thing, or should I just say it out?
Yeah, just say it out, and then we'll put it on the website as well.
Okay. It's FIONA.SHEW R-I-N-G, at cet.nsw.edu.au.
Okay, and the Illawarra.
Yeah, we have lots of good names like that. Like I've just seen to Wagga Wagga and things like that.
So I'm gonna give the letters www.illawarra.tasensw.edu.au, and that is for the book that she put out for supporting women in non-traditional trades. It's a very wonderful read and very good understanding about some of the myths that's out there. And really, to be honest with you, with these last few minutes left in the show, those myths are prevalent here in America too, but they just know not to say it out loud to us now. We have our men folks trained here. I think that's half your problem right there. You just got to get them trained up the right way, and they'll be better men. I believe that seriously, because I think the meeting that we had with Jerome Jackson, he said, "Wow, you guys didn't even need us at the table." But you notice he was very diligent and dutiful with just sitting back and allowing us to interchange information with Miss Andrews. And I want to also get everybody that's online that wants to, we have about 3 minutes left in the show. Caller from 404-660, do you have a website or email address you want somebody to contact you at?
I sure do. It's yourdayyourway.net. We're event planners.
Okay. Do it again, please.
www.yourdayyourway.net.
Okay, and caller from 471, do you have a website or email address somebody can contact you at that you want our listeners
yes.
to know?
Yes, I do. It's bmart973@aol.com.
Is this Ms. Beatrice?
No, this is Barbara.
Oh, okay. All right, great. Thank you. And caller from 468.
I have Restoration Teleconference, and that's at www.restorationteleconference.com. And I am a poet, and in celebration of April being National Poetry Month, we are sharing poetry by teleconference tomorrow evening at 1-605-475-4875, code 455334. And
okay.
Bring your favorite poem and share with us.
And for our wonderful host from Upbuild Design, Nadine.
You can find us at www.upbuilddesign.com. That's UPBUILD.com.
Okay. And you can also find the coalition at ntwcc.org. And I want to thank everybody, internet folks, that I realize what 111 means now, because I keep asking who's on the line. But I enjoyed the time that we've had with you all, and we certainly appreciate everybody's support and calling in every week and showing support for the Sustatic Footprint that we utilize. And I just want to see, I don't know, can you throw a little bit of your poetry out there for us to close?
Okay, let's do this one. It's brief.
Okay.
The shimmering sun, like sparkling diamonds dancing the ocean waves, reminding of us of the light that radiates joy from within. The glow of its radiance, so brilliant and serene, takes us a many kalpas, a distance long ago seen. The surge within our heart is rekindling as it beckons our mind to demonstrate the vision of wisdom's eye. Manifest your vision. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And we're going to close out with Giaplay, Closer to My Dream. Thank you, everybody.